Where there is a homecoming, that means there is going to be a homegoing. Homecoming is when people come home or go home. And as we think about that, the Apostle Paul had much to say about that in Philippians chapter 1. If you'll go to Philippians 1 to verse 20, in just a few moments, that will be from our lesson text. Because the Apostle Paul desired and anticipated heaven. For this hour, I'd like for you and I to think about heaven as a place that is beautiful because of its sights, its sounds, its singing, and within its salvation. The sorrows of this world will have passed, and the child of God, the Christian, should eagerly anticipate heaven. You ever considered we are one day closer to eternity as we live? For some, it will come sooner than others. Just because an individual may be young in years does not mean that he or she has a long life on this earth. We have known of young people that have lost their lives in a number of ways. And we've known of older people who have lived good, long, faithful lives. Regardless of our age, we should anticipate heaven. That word anticipation, I thought it was kind of interesting, looked it up, and I thought the definitions were rather of interest. To feel or realize beforehand. Foresee. To look forward to. You know, you anticipate something, you look forward to it, especially with pleasure. Expect, deal with beforehand. Thought this was interesting, to cause to happen in advance, to accelerate, to use in advance as income not yet available. It's kind of a lengthy definition from dictionary.com, but curious of the word. When I looked at that, I got to thinking about that definition. You know, the Christian, if you will, feels heaven beforehand. Because one is in the church wherein we find the saved, Acts 2:47. Only saved individuals will go to heaven. Lost individuals will not. The second thing, cause anticipation to happen in advance. When one obeys the gospel of Christ through their faith, a repentant heart, confessing Christ as the Son of God, is buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life and continues that new walk faithfully, you think about it, it does cause anticipation to happen in advance. Because if an individual has obeyed the gospel and walks faithful here, that is what we desire, which is heaven. And of course, it is income not yet available. I like that thought. The other day, Renita told me, now, folks, this is going into an area of opinion. You may feel differently when it comes to taxes. But she told me the other day what we were going to have to pay for our taxes. I said, that's great. And she paused for a moment. I said, this is my theory. I would rather use my money for me all year long than give the government what I may not have deducted, and I'll get them caught up. But if I take that same amount and I pay it in, the government has my money and they're going to hand it back to me with no interest. I'll make my money work and I'll see to it the government gets their share as one who is to be faithful or serving in his nation where he lives, but also to keep in mind that my citizenship is in heaven. Now, I've had discussions with people. We all can have a different view on that when it comes back to taxes. I love to have fun with people. Oh, man, I got back $3,000, $4,000. Jeff, I said, your money. Yeah, with no interest. Yeah, you let them keep your money with no interest. Finally, we realized we're not going to win in the argument. It all depends on what you like. So don't come out the back door to me afterwards and start lashing me about taxes. You do it your way, I'll do it mine. And we can all get along. Income not yet available. Like that. In my days within the grocery industry, I would work on what I called an ROI, return on investment. Take what a customer has purchased, take what their markup was going to be to the customer or to the consumer, and then we would see how much we could make. How much is it per square foot? How profitable is that? And so you've got that return on investment. Think about heaven in those ways. How we anticipate. The Christian feels it. The Christian experiences it on this earth. Only a drop of the bucket, touch of the hem of the garment. When we obey the gospel, that anticipation happens. We're longing for a better life. It's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, that if we had this life, hope only in this life rather, we are of all men the most miserable. And then to know income not yet available as we walk in this life, that heaven awaits. I think about the beautiful song, Home of the Soul. If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er or over, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Home of the soul, beautiful home. There we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there. He is the light. You know, often in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee, the beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea. Now go with me to Philippians 1. Let's see why Paul anticipated heaven, and it's the same reason why we should anticipate heaven. I take you to verse 20 when Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. He goes on to say that Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Whether I'm living faithful here or whether I die, let Christ be magnified in my life. Number one, we anticipate heaven because of the hope that we have. We talked about hope on Friday evening. His term of earnest expectation, that word earnest, it's the concept of earnest money on a property. And that our obedience to the gospel, that we are longing for a home in heaven. When you take that word expectation, it's such a great word. When you get down to it, it means primarily with an outstretched head. You know, you're looking out. You're looking for company coming. And you look out the door and you stretch your head out. I was watching an old Leave It to Beaver. Found a Leave It to Beaver channel. That's amazing. There is good things still in life. I liked some of those later episodes where Wally and Ward helped him get his first car. I think it was a 53 Chevrolet. That was the raggedest looking thing in the world. You don't know how many times I wanted to jump in that scene and paint that car. But I can remember Beaver going to the window and he kept looking. He wanted to see. He was excited to see the car that his dad and Wally was going to bring home. He was looking out the window. That's the idea of heaven. We anticipate heaven in earnest expectation. We are eagerly longing. We're straining that neck. We're out there and we're looking for it. It keeps our focus because we've got it on something. Just like when you look out the window of a company. You tell the child, "Hon, you can keep going to that window, but they're not going to get here any faster." It doesn't matter. We anticipate. We eagerly look. That's the meaning here of heaven. When you dig a little deeper, a writer by the name of Lightfoot said that it suggests, and here's a couple of high-dollar words, abstraction and absorption. Okay, explain that to me. Well, the abstraction means don't let anything else capture your attention. When you're looking for heaven, when you're anticipating heaven, you're looking for that. Don't let anything get into your path between you and heaven. And then the other word, absorption, which means that we are absorbed within that until heaven has come to us and we've arrived there. Love that work, that absorption. Let me turn back the clock a little bit. Got a lot of folks in this assembly that will understand what I mean, and those that may not understand, you're just going to have to Google it. Remember that old green bottle with the white label called Absorbing Junior? Man, that stuff had a smell to it, but boy, you wanted to get it and rub it on something. Grandma used it. I believe with all my heart that if we went back to grandmas and great-grandmas with Vic Salve, salt water, and Absorbing Junior, we could have probably solved COVID-19. A lot of good old remedies like that. But I remember, and they called it absorbing, Junior, because you wanted it to absorb into that muscle that hurt. And when we look at that, we want it to absorb, heaven to absorb in our lives. We're outstretched necks, that earnest expectation, that hope. Paul in Romans 8:24 says, we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen, or hope that is seen, is not hope. For why do we hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We stay with it. Heaven is our focus. With that outstretched neck, that earnest expectation, that hope, we anticipate heaven. Would you look at verse 21? We anticipate heaven, dear friends, because our citizenship is in heaven. Notice in verse 21, simple verse, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Makes good sense. Anticipate. Return on investment. To die is gain. I find myself in many ways when a loved one passes from this earth, who is faithful and ready to leave this earth, I must admit, my sorrow is not as great. It is hard. It is saddened. But folks, we're not going to live forever. As my late daddy would say, living or dying is part of living. That was so true. We're appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And it eases our pain and eases our loss, knowing that our loved one was prepared to meet the Lord. It helps us through those most trying moments. In my early days of preaching, sometimes when people wanted to talk about their funeral, didn't want to quite talk about it. But as I got a little older, I realized if somebody sits down and says, Jeff, I want to talk about when I leave this earth, then I'll listen to what they have to say. We always plan for trips and vacation. Why should not the child of God anticipate heaven and plan for something better? Paul says, for me to live is Christ. That's great living. To die is gain. I'm living for Christ. There, I'm living with Christ. That's pretty cool. Here, I walk with Christ through my troubles. There, I walk with Christ with no troubles. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3, verse 20, Old King James, our conversation is in heaven. Our lifestyle, our membership, if you will, is in heaven. This may surprise you, but that word citizenship, when you look at its original language, it is an old Greek word where we get the English word politics. Our politics are in heaven, if you will. Our citizenship, whereas we are members of this nation involved in the worldly political process, we as Christians, our citizenship is in heaven, where we are involved there in the spiritual realm. But while we're on this earth, our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Outstretched neck. We wait for him. He will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. What a wonderful thing to have that new body. Going to look more at that in the 11 o'clock hour when we talk about what will I experience in heaven in light of a homecoming thought. In Matthew 6, verse 19, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust will not corrupt, where thieves will not break through and steal. Then he reminds us where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We live it, we store it, we anticipate it. Our citizenship is in heaven. To die is gain. Look at this third one with me. Drop down to verse 23. And it kind of ties in a little bit with the second one. But we anticipate heaven because this world is not our home. Do we ever think about two specific hymns that we sing? Here we are but straying pilgrims. Here our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver shall gladden all our longing eyes. Look at verse 23. Paul says, to be with Christ, which is far better. In 22, he said, I'll need to live in the flesh. This is the fruit of my labor. I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to be with Christ, which is far better. Then he goes on in 24 and says, you know, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. To abide here with you is more needful, but I'm looking for something better. This world is not our home. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 13 in verse 14 says, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. You're dead to this world, but your life is hid with Christ in God. And in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. You know, we sing also, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Folks, do we truly believe it when we sing it? Or do we live for the here and now? We're longing for something that's much better. The other day, my sister, we had visited with Mama, and I was about to leave to come down this way, but she said, where are you going? She was asking about lunch. I have a sister who will absolutely refuse to let me buy her lunch. And being the baby brother, sometimes you just have to defer. And she said, and I love to do this, she said, Mama, where are you going? She said, that's not what I mean. Next time somebody says, hey, where are you going? Look at them and say, heaven, and don't say another word. See what they say. Because this world is not our home. My mother, and I do believe, folks, that when you get into your 80s, and they may go out and look at property or whatever, she'll get things and she'll say, they want to give me X amount of money for the house. Now, Daddy built that house. She's been there for 50 plus years. And she said, I got a thing the other day, and it was some astronomical amount. And I told her, I said, well, what are you going to do? She said, well, I ain't going to take it. So I thought, I'm going to have a little fun. I said, Mama, if they offered you $500,000 for that house, would you take it? Nope. She said, let me ask you something. She said, if they offered you $500,000 for your house, what would you do? I said, sign the papers. This world is not my home. I'll go somewhere else. This world is not my home. Folks, when we realize we are strangers and pilgrims through this land, that's how Peter described us in 1 Peter 2. This world is not our home. While we're here, we're going to abide in the flesh, needful for others, and we're going to be with Christ, which is far better. That's what we want. But folks, this world is not our home. And when we think of it that way, we think less of here and more of there. And then our spouses grasp that, and our children grasp that, and our grandchildren grasp that. And then when our time on earth is done, we have built in an assurance to their lives. This world was not his or her home. I'm going to tell you, folks, and I mean this with all graciousness, and I use the biblical terminology because it's respectful. But to the aged brethren in this audience today, God's been good to you. You're living a good long life, and while you're here, you live Christ. But you're a lot closer than days gone by. Keep living that faithful example, because you've got some of us young bucks coming behind you that's watching how you do it. Fourth one, 24 and 25. In this verse, Paul says to abide in the flesh more needful for you. And then he takes what he says in 21 through 24, or 20 through 24, and says, and having this confidence. Heaven we anticipate because it gives us confidence in two areas. First of all, it gives us a confidence in our faith. Notice Paul said, the joy of faith, verse 25, a confidence in our faith, but it's a boldness and a confidence in the faith of Christ, Ephesians 3, verse 12, that eternal purpose. My faith is in the faith. The phrase the faith means the gospel system, the one faith. When Jude said in Jude 3 to contend for the faith, he's not talking about our faith, but through our faith we contend for the faith, the gospel, what God has granted. In Acts 6, last evening, we talked about Philip. Verse 7, there were those who were obedient to the faith. Moving on our faith, we are obedient to the faith, the one faith, Ephesians 4. And we will no longer have confidence in the flesh. I like it right here in Philippians 2. You can go over it. Some of you may have to turn a page. I've just got to go across the page where Paul talks about in chapter 3 and verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, and if any other man thinks that he has, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Back up in verse 3, he says, rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. And then Paul starts giving his resume, if you will. What all he has accomplished in the flesh. That doesn't matter, folks. There's an old saying that's so true, you can't take it with you. Folks, why would we want to? Because those things that are here on this earth, it probably causes more grief in more ways than one. I don't want a U-Haul following my hearse to the cemetery. Don't need it. I don't need to take it with me when I've got something better. Don't need it. And it gives us confidence, a confidence in our faith by the faith of Him. Now look at this phrase too. I know that I shall abide and continue with you, verse 25, for your furtherance. So there's a confidence in our faith, but there must also be a continuance in our faith. We're taught in Matthew 10:22, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. To be continual in our prayers, 1 John 5:14, with the assurance that He hears us, and confidence in our Christ, Hebrews 3 and verse 14. We continue and we are a day closer. You know, when you think about it, dear friends, we arise this morning, and usually when I am back on Central Time, when the daylight hits the window, I'm usually up. That's why I'm glad, Justin, where I'm staying, there was a bedroom with no window. I like that. But this morning, I was in the living room and was watching TV and slept there on that good, comfortable couch. And I could hear the birds outside and looked, and there's daylight, Johnny. So I might as well just get on up and get myself going. Folks, beautiful day. Stepped outside. Crisp morning. You couldn't beat this morning. This is just a brief little small sample of the glory of heaven. The God that created what we enjoy is the God who sent His Son, who has returned to prepare for us a place called heaven. Christians eagerly anticipate a heavenly home, dear friends. And as we think about homecoming on this day and this special time here at Wood, again, you think of homecoming, but it prompts you to think of a home going. I am sure the cemetery here to my right as you walk over there and you see people and your memory starts going. Your memory starts. Cemeteries are a hallowed place. Cemeteries get you to thinking. The Chattanooga National Cemetery, whenever I do a grave sign there and abide by their guidelines and how to do things, there is a certain reverence that I find when I'm in that cemetery of not only those among them who live faithful lives, but those that served our nation, and then how the spouses are buried with them, because when that man or that woman was serving their nation, so were their spouses. They were with them too. Cemeteries make you think. And sometimes you read statements on tombstones that remind you of the brevity of life. You've probably heard of the poem called The Dash of How We Live Our Life, the dash between the age when we're born and when we die. You've probably heard that. Daddy and I took care of an area of cemetery, a community cemetery, called the Morton Cemetery. And my grandmother and grandfather are buried there. My young cousin that passed away shortly after birth, a number of kinfolk buried there. There was a tall, tall marker. And when you cut by something over and over, and you read the wording on it, after a while, it sticks in your mind. It's repetitiveness. It's big, tall, and the person passed in the 1800s. A lot of history there. You may have heard this. Remember me as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you soon will be. Prepare for death and follow me. Tremendous wisdom.